Enfield iron ore bed was discovered in 1826 by an adventurous boy, the son of a man named Cram.
I was hunting for partridges one day up on the mountain. The ledge was awful steep. I was starting to slip on the rocks, so I took hold of a bush with my right hand. It slowed down my fall, but the whole bush, roots, and all came loose. I tumbled a few feet, making a racket. I lost my chance with the partridges and was ready to give up for the day. But as I scrambled to my feet and reached towards the ledge to pick up my rifle, my eye was caught by concentrations of rusty red soil where the bush had been. As I swept the dirt away, I found small red-orange rocks, flecked with silver. They were smooth and heavy for their small size. I filled my pockets with the dirt and rocks. If that's iron, Father will be awfully pleased, I thought. I took it home, and it wasn't long before my father opened the bed. Promise was so good that Penfield and Taft bought it. Black magnetite without a trace of sulfur. And, as luck would have it, that mine supplied all the ore used in the Irondale Works.
Charles Hammond had a similar experience that he related to Jonas Tower, again from Barker's account.
My own ore bed was discovered in 1821 by a man who was hunting for a bee tree.
Doubtless there are many rich ledges of ore still concealed by the forest.
There's no equal to it from Canada to Georgia. I've had the iron rolled into round and band iron and also made into nails by Peru Iron Company at Clintonville. The foreman and his workmen said they'd never before seen iron that would roll so thin without cracks or fractures at the edge. Peru iron had been called the best, but it could not stand the test for strength and toughness beside mine.
Has your ore ever been run in a furnace?
Yes, at Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It was worked into a very fine quality of pig iron. Samples went to the U.S. Navy Department, and I have a testament from the commandant of the arsenal praising its toughness and ductility. I tell you, Jonas, there is a fortune in this iron business for us and our children, and it will bring great prosperity to the town.
And with that, Jonas Tower was all in. He joined the company as a partner, contributing both iron know-how and even investing some of his own money.
I've been down to Albany, met a man there, Joseph Henry. Henry has invented an electromagnet.
Ingenious! An electromagnet separating the iron from the crushed ore will certainly speed the process.
And make us a national model of efficiency.
Ironville, the birthplace of the electric age. Imagine that.
In 1845, Tower supervised the building of the first Crown Point Iron Company blast furnace. He stayed on as superintendent of operations. The Hammond blast furnace was unique. Although it was a blast furnace, the escaped heat was used not only for making steam to run the blast power, but also for stamping, for sawing coal brands, and for grinding feed. This furnace churned out 3,500 tons of pig iron a year. It was ore from this bed that was rolled into plates for the ironclad ship USS Monitor. There's a little bit more chemistry we need to work through before we travel through time to the later years of Ironville operations. Iron from this area was of especially high quality, with very low levels of impurities, making it ideal for transforming into steel. While iron is an element, steel is an alloy or chemical combination. By alloying iron with small amounts of carbon and chromium, it becomes much stronger. That's what we call steel. Transforming iron into steel was not easy. But then, roughly 20 years further along in time, in 1863, Alexander Holly enters the picture. Holly had just returned from England, having purchased the U.S. patent rights to a new and better process of making steel called the Bessemer process. This method would eventually make its way here to this region. 2 years later, in 1865, the much-prized low-phosphorus pig iron from Crown Point was used in an experimental production of steel in Troy, one of the first Bessemer plants in the United States, and where Holly was a partner. Even today, Holly is recognized for his work and is often dubbed the father of the American steel industry for bringing the Bessemer technology to the U.S. It's worth noting that these events weren't happening in isolation. At the same time, near Moriah, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute alum and Port Henry native Thomas Witherby was experimenting in his lab in Fletcherville, taking a scientific approach for creating proper mixes of ore to be sent to Troy for use in the Bessemer steel process.